Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, fellow explorers of the unknown, to a new episode of Hidden Mysteries, and where we strive to bring you evocative topics on age-old questions, legends, and mysterious concepts from our endless vault each month. I'm Mimi, and with me this evening is Reverend Maria D'Andrea, and this is July 5th, 2017, coming to you from the New York area. Hi, Reverend Maria, how are you doing?
Wonderfully. It's so nice out. I love that it's warm weather.
Yes. Now, if anybody would like to get in touch with Reverend Maria, if you have tuned in and have been wanting to get in touch with her about her psychic work, the fact that she's a metaphysical practitioner and a public speaker, spiritual life coach, you can get in touch with her at mariadeandrea.com. That again is mariadeandrea.com. Or 631-559-1248. That is 631-559-1248. Maria is a psychic from Budapest, Hungary, and a European shaman. As I've said, she's authored many books, and we also have a link to at least one of her books, but you could also get in touch to find out more of her other books as well. So also, I'm here from mquestmedia.com. Anybody's interested in checking out further information of regarding MQuest Media, you can go to mquestmedia.com, and there you'll find information on articles and programs and more other hidden mystery shows, as well as a book that I just authored called The Life and Progress of a Practical Spiritualist. So today we're going to have a very interesting talk. The year we're going to be talking about, or at least around the period, is 1581, England, and the occultists John Dee and Edward Kelly were receiving communications from angels who provided them with the foundation of an angelical language, which can be used to communicate with the other side. This angelic language contained its own alphabet, grammar, and syntax, which they wrote down in their own journals. The new language was called Enochian and comes from John Dee's assertion that the biblical patriarch Enoch had been the last human to know this language. So, Maria, coming to you for all the information that we wish to know, because you're a fountain of knowledge, a font of knowledge. Who were these men, and how did this all begin? This is really fascinating.
I find it really interesting because we all deal nowadays with angels and archangels, and we consciously try to work with them. And John Dee lived during the reign of Queen Elizabeth I. He was actually her scientific, and I like the word scientific, advisor and confidant. And she was very impressed with his work. Dee was actually considered the father of Enochian magic, because even though he taught us about the Enochian language, they used it also in magic, not just on the spiritual psychic side. And it was really used more to call in the angels. Now, he was actually a scientist, researcher, inventor, historian, scholar. So I find it interesting that he did all those things, and he was known as the man who knew everything. He was he also delved into alchemy and magic. So he studied everything humanly possible, on the scientific level, and then he studied God and the angels. And the extent of his knowledge really spanned the physical to the esoteric, which is why, of course, they called him the man who knew everything. And at some point, he was learning how to call an angel, and he was summoning them and learning to control demons. And since he couldn't hear or see them, he actually employed Edward Kelly, who really was also into alchemist, and he was a medium, and he wanted Kelly to be there to make the contact. So it's very interesting because the two of them together, balanced each other out and could work very well together. Well, sometimes on your own, it's a little bit more difficult to be tuned into a different realm and be logical, taking notes at the same time.
Right. Yeah, sometimes you just need to have like that companion in your work to be able to do one aspect while you do another. I think that always works well.
you were saying, in fact, the thing about your book, I just wanted to throw that in there, that I thought your book was amazing. And I really think everybody should pick that up because it gives you a really good knowledge of what we actually go through and what we look at as a perspective of the different realms. I know, I had to throw it in. I love your book.
Well, you know, I wanted to mention, because you also have a book out that somehow correlates with what we're going to be talking about today. It's you co-authored the book called Angel Spells. And we have a link on our site in case anybody would like to get some more information on it. So talk a little about that book and how that ties into our topic for this evening, and then we'll get back to into more of Mr. D and Mr. Kelly.
Well, the book has a phonetic guide to pronouncing the names of the angels, along with the prayers and the type of angels that there are out there, symbols or sigils associated with each angel, spells. So I find that if you know how to do something, because it's a technique, it's a formula. Mm. If you follow the formula, just like in science, there's cause and effect. If you follow it, you actually get the outcome that you want. So when you're calling an angel, it's very important to call them in correctly, so you need to pronounce the names properly. Now, if a person comes close to the pronunciation, it will still be okay because they know who they are, right?
Okay.
You know? And I actually wrote about the Archangel Metatron, who is connected to liberation and the whirlwind. Now, the reason I say that, because I found this amusing when you and I were talking about it, in 2015, Bishop Alan Greenfield, who also contributed to the Angel Spell Book, and by the way, so did Sean Castile and William Arabella. And it was really interesting because we were talking about the invocation, and he did my invocation to the Archangel Metatron, again, who connects to liberation and whirlwinds, among other things, on the air on, on the Ground Zero show, which was hosted by Clyde Lewis. And the next day, remember, whirlwind, the next day the roof of the radio station blew off. I think the angel had a good laugh because probably nobody called in this angel for a really long time, and Metatron got bored. So I always laugh because, you know, you have to know what you're doing when you do these things. And it's actually documented. And if somebody goes to that show because it's archived, they're going to hear the show falling in Metatron. And it actually is archived that the roof blew off the next day. It's like you can't make this stuff up.
it was almost like he saved all this energy for what was that?
No, I was going to say, that's why you need to have, you know, the proper intent.
Yeah, no, I was about to say that. That's why he probably had all this energy saved up, and then, then the whole roof went off just because of that.
It's kind of like, oh, somebody let me loose. You know, and you can tell when you have an angel in your presence, because you get this very strong feeling of love and curiosity. Mm. So it's really amazing. It's a totally different feel.
So what did this journal of John Dee's contain? What information were the angels giving him?
Well, the language of the angels, or of Eden, because it has a few different names, or the Adamic language, as it is sometimes called, it was believed to be used by Adam in paradise to name all things in existence. And it really stemmed from the belief that at one time, mankind was speaking directly to God and the angels, and they were, and what they were speaking was really considered the root of all languages. Now, the angels told Dee that Adam spoke the angelic language freely while in the Garden of Eden, but when he and Eve fell from paradise, they lost the memory of the language, which I just find interesting. So it really is supposed to be the base of everything.
Yeah, isn't this angelic language a language of light or energy, as opposed to what we think of as, you know, the language we use here in this realm, which is much more physically based? So, you know, now I think about it, all language will begin on that level anyway, since everything that's created for the third dimension comes from the fourth and up. But that was strictly from that level of spirit. So would it be a much higher vibrational type of language, since it was all energy and light?
Oh, I agree. I think so, too, because what happens is everything is energy, as we all know. Everything in the universe is energy. And everything comes to life form first, because when we're thinking, as an example, we think in pictures, which is another form. So if you're thinking of, say, an elephant, you're picturing the elephant, not the word spelled out that says elephant.
Mm-hmm.
So everything generates really from that energy source. And the Enochian language was intended more to act as a means for invoking the angels, you know, for calling mm-hmm. them in so we can work directly with them. It mm-hmm. wasn't really meant for them to communicate with each other the same way. It was more for us to be able to connect to them. And people like mm-hmm. Aleister Crowley, who actually started out as a positive practitioner in the occult, who was discussed actually on a prior show, considered angels mm-hmm. and UFOs to be the same. They viewed this whole experience like they were dealing with alien visitors. So one of the books relates certain experiences as though they were describing alien abductions, as they were really taken from their bed at night. So it depends on your perspective. And if someone's abducted by aliens, you're not going to understand their speech pattern, as an example, since they would be speaking in another language unlike your own. So what people don't think about is a lot of what we pick up is really, even with each other, subconsciously is considered more telepathy, because you get a sense of the feeling of the person, their mood. It's not always the words. Even if you're speaking to somebody in another country, you know, we try to wave and do sign language a little bit so we can communicate. It's not always the words. And actually, there were 49 keys, which meant 49 gates of wisdom, 49 magical squares, and it's 49, but only 48 of them can be opened. So with Enochian magic, you're getting revelations through clairaudience, clairvoyance, and through an automatic writing method. It comes in different forms, but those seem to be the main forms with the Enochian.
Why, if there was 49 and only 48 were supposed to be open, I mean, was that 49th one like a no-no? That, I mean, would we open up Pandora's box or something like that? I mean,
oh, pretty much.
yeah, okay.
First of all, you can't, but I'm assuming that that's the reason why we can't. It's not even that people wouldn't try, because you know how it is, humankind, we're curious. And I have to tell you, if somebody tells me I can't do something, part of me is like, oh, let me just try.
yeah, exactly.
Can't open it. You know, and basically when you're looking at the alphabet, they look a little bit like runic symbols to me, you know, somewhat.
Mm.
And the sigils I have in the angel spells book for some angels came to me actually directly to call them in. So you really won't find any of the symbols or sigils really anywhere else, because it was channeled to me. So it's really interesting how we get information when we start writing. And as an example with the Enochian language, it took on the form of pictographic language. So when you look at it, you know, you're going to go, oh, maybe this is what it is. And Kelly couldn't always do the letters exactly. So I found that it was interesting that he would see it on paper like a yellow light, you know, of energy. Mm-hmm. And then he would trace the letters or the symbols over the light, and at that point, as soon as he traced it, the light would disappear. And then the letters actually are supposed to be representative of the creation of man. Kelly used a black scrying stone, which triggered the vision, while Dee wrote them down in his journal. And basically, any shiny object can be used for scrying. You can even use bubble bath. In fact, we were talking about it a while ago, and when I was in my teens, I once saw visions of people in the bubbles, and you know, in a bubble bath. And one time I actually saw an aunt that was in our family passing away. And a couple months later, she actually passed. Now, at the time when I saw in the bubbles, which, you know, that was when I was first starting out flying. It wasn't on purpose. It just happened. And all I could think of was, how am I going to tell this to somebody? So I actually mentioned it to somebody, that this is what I saw. You know, family's used to you. So when it came up, people weren't quite as shocked. They were a little bit more prepared. But it wasn't like she was sick. She just, you know, one day to the next, and she was gone. So it's really how you get information.
Yeah, I have to ask, you know, in regards to the sigils that you mentioned earlier, those painted symbols, which are magical, which are supposed to have magical powers, how close were the sigils used on the show Supernatural when they used them in some of their scenes? Because they're supposed to give access to other dimensions or protect them from negative entities. You tend to wonder what trouble they could get into if they were given the actual ones to use, you know, by the writers and the people who put together those shows.
Right.
So I wonder how close are they, you know? I mean, you know, they could be opening up a keg of worms if they were really given something that was really, really, you know, point on.
Yeah, because actually when you think about it, I love that show. And I am sure there are some people going, oh, let me try this. And
yeah, actually, yeah, exactly.
Right, and some of them were pretty close, not enough to cause problems. So when we call on angels, as an example, we will at times use sigils, symbols, specific rituals, which are in the book. And also, we have to be really careful because when you're opening a doorway, you know, and I always point this out to people to use psychic self-defense because you're opening a doorway, and even though you're calling in angels, something can hitchhike through that doorway when you call them in. The other thing is that people don't realize when you're calling in angels, you can't call angels in just like that. You either have to use their name, like Metatron, or you have to say positive angels, because what people don't realize when they're calling in angels is that they're a fallen angel. So if you're just asking for angels, you don't know who you're getting. And even if you say, are you a positive angel? And it's a fallen angel? Let me see. Mm. They're negative. They're going to lie. They might lie to you. Right?
Yeah. Well, you know, that's interesting you said that, because Supernatural also had an episode where Dean had called in an angel because he needed to help his brother who was in a coma. And he says, any of you who are listening right now, and I thought to myself, uh-oh. He's really messing himself up at that moment. And it turned out that it was, you know, things did get a little messed up until Castiel saved the day. So.
Right. Because the thing is, we want to be able to call in angels to help us and to call in archangels. Now, this is the difference between angels and archangels. Angels are here to help us more directly, you know, with humankind, to do better in all different areas. However, archangels really are supposed to be more general. It's not that they're taking care of individuals. An archangel is really more taking care of, how can I put this, the country, the tribe, the community. They're not as specific normally. Now, if you call in an archangel to help you with something, of course they're going to come because you summoned that angel. But really an archangel's job is best supposed to be more on the community level or the global level rather than an individual level. They still listen and they come. I tend to look at it as we need to leave them alone to their job and call in the other angels. Doesn't mean you can't. Like I said, they do come to help.
Yeah, because I always feel that they're all out there to help us no matter what. So, you know, if that's what you need, then I'm sure they're not going to feel offended anyway, because being offended is a human thing. So, you know,
exactly.
We're the ones with the egos, you know. We see things as being offensive or otherwise, you know. So I don't think they care unconditionally, so I don't think that they would have a problem one way or the other. But
No, I think that was funny with Metatron, because Metatron was probably going, well, nobody's called me in for a while. Let me see, liberation or whirlwind might be more fun.
Well, you know, really, I mean, people think of him as the scribe of God. So people are going to think like, okay, now what could I possibly ask for this person or being to do for me?
See, you and I should have started that before we wrote books and went, here, you do it.
Right. It's like, oh, come in and write this for me? I mean, you know, like, I think he's got enough on his hands, so, or no hands, whatever. But,
I find it interesting.
Go ahead.
Well, I find it interesting that, I don't know about other people, but I know when you and I write books, You know, a lot of the information we get is more channeled or coming from spirit, and then later on we look at it and we go, oh, let me put it into my words so it actually sounds like me.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, that's interesting. No, what I was going to say was that, I think I said this on another show, was that when I was writing, a lot of it I sense was coming from another level of consciousness. And what it does is it mixes in with the entity who you are at that moment, who is me, Miriam, or me, you know, and the personality that this entity has. So we color that information with the voice of the being who we are at that moment. So I always feel no matter what we're creating, whether it's writing, painting, photography, no matter what it is, it comes from other levels of consciousness. And then we pick it up, filtered down to us, we pick it up and we give it our own personalities. So that's how I feel like it, you know, it's like a companionable energy that helps us to express ourselves.
Oh, I think so too. And I think that's why we have so much information out there that is similar, you know, from one country to the other. Because it's all the same. We're still all working on love and positive energy and karma and doing the right thing. That doesn't mean people listen because we're human, but they're trying to give us a higher level of consciousness. So we do the best that we can. And then, you know, they'll give us more information. Right now, I think they're working on, you should just pay attention to us. We're trying to give you the knowledge.
Well, you know, that's why I think that so many people, you know, like you're saying, do write the same type of information. But what happens is that the people who pick up some of these books may not pick up other types of books. So whatever they're drawn to, they so they put out enough of the material so that, you know, you'll be, so each person will be drawn to a specific person because they like the voice or the personality of that person, that it resonates with them. So I think that, you know, when people say, oh, well, it's, you know, it's all the same stuff, it's whatever you resonate to, you know, whoever you feel drawn to. Like I liked Wayne Dyer for quite a while because I liked his persona. I liked the information he was putting out and the energy of the words and where it was coming from. I thought he had a really wonderful approach. So, but then there would have been quite a few other people that I would not have been drawn to, and people might not, others might not have been, you know, drawn to Dyer, you know. So so that's why there's so much of the same information, you know, so many people writing the same information, because that gives access to different people, you know, for them to draw upon.
No, I agree, because we all resonate to different energies. Like, you know, we were saying on a previous show how like attracts like. So you're going to read something that resonates with you that's a little bit more towards your understanding or personality. It's like you and I were talking about how, you know, we like Joel Osteen because he's very down to earth and he explains things on a spiritual level in a very positive, funny, down to earth manner. You know, and a lot of people resonate with him. But then you have people that resonate to a different form of information coming from the ministry, as an example. So everybody kind of gravitates towards what they're really comfortable with. You know, and I just find that really interesting because the thread of we should do positive, as an example, flows through all the information that's spiritual. It's just that you're picking it up from somebody you're connected to, you're going to listen more than if it's
that's somebody
that doesn't mesh with you. In fact, when the Wright brothers with the airplane, you know, they were saying part of that was through meditation and part of it, all of a sudden they just have this insight. Now, at the same time, which most people don't realize, how to build the airplane came to different people in different countries around the same time. They're just the ones that implemented it and had the fame about it. So when something is meant to come into this world, you know, as knowledge or as, you know, the airplane, there are enough people out there tuning into the same source for whatever label they choose to call it to get it into this planet. And then now we have the airplane.
Right, right. Exactly. Well, you know, there's so many items just like that, just like the plane that were, I mean, you know, Edison and Tesla were coming up with pretty much the same thing. Of course, I think Tesla had it first, but that, you know, that's everyone likes to debate that. But, you know, it always seems to come to various people at the same time, and it's whoever gets to it first. Those are the people that end up in history books, you know.
Yeah, I am sure there were people on farms all over different countries that we never knew about trying to build an airplane at the same time or more or less around the same time.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Is there any additional things that you would like to talk about in regards to the angel language?
I just wanted to say that really the point of the angel language, we don't actually have to learn to speak it. The point of the angel language is we can use it in ritual to be more specific if you choose to learn it. However, if you're using the sigils, and a lot of it also tells you what colors to use, how to set up an altar, what other things you might need like candles or herbs, it tells you very specifically what to use. If you stay with that, the point is to improve your life. So you're calling in an angel for a specific purpose, whatever that purpose may be at the time, and the point is the angel is going to come to you to help elevate you and your life spiritually, physically, and in health in different areas. So I would really suggest do some form of psychic self-defense first, but just be very serious about working with the angels, and they love working with you. It does not mean they don't have a sense of humor. We're serious about the intent. That doesn't mean you can't kid around with them.
No, that's good to know. It can get pretty serious.
Right. We kind of went from thou art when we do rituals and things, went from that thou art to hey. We need to help.
Hey, you up there. You hear me?
Exactly. It's like, yo.
Right. You have any last minute things you would like to say before we close?
I just want to say to people, right, don't forget to join us again as we bring more exciting topics to you. And until the next time, and always, may God bless you abundantly. And thank you for listening to the show.
Right, and thank you all for joining us this evening on Hidden Mysteries. And be sure to mark us as your favorite so that you continue to receive notifications of upcoming shows. And visit us on Facebook.com/MQuestMedia, and there you can send either comments or suggestions for upcoming shows. Perhaps you had some questions for this evening's topic that we hadn't covered. You can send that over to us, perhaps stories of your own experiences. You can also get in touch with Reverend Maria at mariadeandrea.com or call her at 631-559-1248, 631-559-1248. And have a nice night. And thank you all for joining us. And we'll see you next time on Hidden Mysteries.